6:30 now, huh?
That's right. Yeah. Are you where you talk?
Yes, I am. Fine.
Well, the thing I think you... you're quite aware... My point is, if you're going to, when you're in, you're faced with what might be a debacle, your bargaining position changes a great deal. You don't tell them a goddamn thing. So we're tough as hell and find out whether how weak they are. But I think we have to realize that we're in a quite different position. Now, before we go that far, of course, I agree that we've got to give them that whack on the Hanoi high point so that they realize that strength is. And incidentally, on that score, I think you would agree that that would enormously strengthen our bargaining position. What we could do to the North would strengthen our bargaining position. They have no confidence in what we can do to save the South. And that's really what it gets, or do you agree? Isn't that why we do the MII
fund? Mr. President, I think it's premature to do what you suggest this week. I think they can gain a hell of a lot more. If I make such an argument tomorrow, they'll take this for life.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling you what you could...
It may come to that.
What you should set up, though.
I understand.
But on the other hand, set it up in such a way that we hit Hanoi Haiphong before you have to come to the final crux. Because the major reason for hitting that is you well understand. It's not only affecting Russia. I don't know something. But it's also the major fear they have. Hell, is what we can do to them. And the fact that I just may say, well, the hell with it, you can lick South Vietnam, but you're not going to embarrass the United States.
Well, as you remember, I felt that the Danish action that we couldn't sit on the ceasefire too much because they might come when you might need it.
Correct.
And it certainly isn't. It's something that we need to be carefully open. I think tomorrow I've got to go in and have some instructions.
Tough as hell. Yeah.
That is guaranteed.
Because of this talk to Russia.
Right. I mean, it will certainly be unsatisfactory, but it will certainly be a proposal. He's not going to offer nothing. Now, I think the way I should handle that is to say, I will come back to Washington. I'm much more tender to the president, and I'll be accustomed to it. But it's going to be another deal. I'm not even sure I'll be I think when you are in a very tough spot, the best thing to do is
tough it through.
Tough it through.
Oh, yes. And the other thing is, we all have to know what we can do back in position. Of course, on another side, you know, I think of other evaluations. You take Thompson, you've seen more of these wars than Abrams are. He's not all that discouraged, or what hasn't been in the past, although maybe he would be now. What do you think?
And he was at the end of last year, but that was before the
Well, Abrams may be.
But under the shock of the retreat, I think a field commander does set a major setback to be held to every word.
You mean Abrams?
Yeah, by the battle.
He's basically a field commander, and that's what we should have kept him at. Huh? Well, anyway, another mission, number 13, I think. be the lucky one.
Right.
Sure, as far as I know, your bargaining strength. As far as these factors are concerned, as far as these factors, I want you to know, I am ready to fall on the sword. In other words, as far as it is, in that means we will demolish before we will allow ourselves. I believe that is what I believe. No, that's your strong point. So don't worry about South Vietnam, what's happening to Phong Kien and all the rest. Just remember that they are in for a hell of a shot. They can come about.
Right. I'm aware of that, and I'm also aware of how you have everything together.
Well, I've just taken a holiday. Today, I really, you know, it makes you almost want to not have meetings, to sit there and hear the obvious. Of course, who is more open to public relations? Who in the country is more aware? Who has been counting in those meetings? I counted up a little twice. I said, look, we don't need to sell this to the dozen. And I was the one that last time said, well, Jesus, we've got to sell this to the hawks. And that's why I said to Moore, remember, I was really throwing that to Rogers and the others. I said, now, Tom, you and Mel have got to sell this to the country. Can you sell it? You know, and they said they could. And I just couldn't imagine.
1,500 missiles, they have no trouble with accepting a disparity of 1,500 ICBMs. They have no trouble with killing the whole ABM program, which is the only strategic program we have. And here is a deal that, given the fact that McNamara and company put us in a bind, is the best we can now get in order to get some momentum going. That's all we're talking about.
Also, and I will help write the testimony. We can't allow ourselves to be in a position of frozen ourselves into a disadvantage. Roger's right about that.
But we have more bombers, Mr. President. We have all the delivery systems together. It's about it. That the border will support them. And if you added the advanced planes we have in Europe, we still be slightly ahead. Now, the unfortunate thing is that qualitatively the Soviets are going so far ahead of them that they're just getting second grade.
Hold just a minute. Yeah, go ahead, Henry.
So,
I was just talking to Manola. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, any event, I just think you should know, though, that we are going to see this thing through. You know, I was down in Texas the other day. Last night, I took a goddamn hard line, mainly because I know we have got to stand, as we say, tough it through, you know, because the PR types, the Colton, Frager, et cetera, Galley were all saying that put emphasis on the hope for a ceasefire, which I'm sure they got right out of the state. I didn't even mention ceasefire last night.
I know you did.
But I shouldn't have. That's not my job.
Absolutely.
And don't you agree?
Absolutely. I think you did it absolutely right.
And we just get across our point, which the enemy, I mean, I wasn't talking to the country, but to the enemy. The enemy has got to know.
They'll come up with something tomorrow.
You think they will?
It won't be accepted.
Oh, we all know that, but do you think they'll make any progress?
I don't know. They'll make some proposal, and I think it will be something like that.
It could be very substantial. If the Russians have put it to them, it could be. That's my point.
Now, let's see what it is.
Yeah.
Our big strength right now is unpredictability.
Well, which is no bluff.
And therefore, it's too early to wait. We're not expecting that we do, but I think we should go another
No, I'm telling you that your backup position is one that I can well understand. You understand? That's what I'm just telling you.
I know who we're talking about. My position.
Yeah. Yeah. No, your backup position for negotiating is one that I want you to have in mind. And I didn't want to say it in front of anybody else, but you can have in mind that your backup position has to recognize reality.
Right.
And that's where we are. Now, the other... You see what I mean? You just recognize reality, which gives you great flexibility to do whatever the hell you can do. I mean, let's face it, you've got to make the best deal you can.
Right.
But on the other hand, use that it's the poker analogy with you. You remember I told you about it?
That in
the South Pacific, that the president, the young officer, won $10,000. And he was one of the best poker players. And the mark of the president is he seldom bluffed. But that no one can remember an occasion when he was called that he didn't have the cards. And somebody called him. In other words, he was the man that Booker requires some bluff. But the president, if he was called, he'd throw in the cards if he was really bluff. But if he was called, stayed in the pot, he always had the cards and won the pot. That's the thing they got to remember. That's the way I play the game. I just don't play it in terms of puffing and puffing and backing down.
That's
okay. Okay. Have a good flight. Bye.